follow along in your pew Bibles on page 179 of the Old Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you are a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheep in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention now to the New Testament, to Paul's first letter to Timothy. We're in the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And actually, I'm going to read 6 through 10 rather than just 7 through 10. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. The word of the Lord. Amen. 23 billion dollars. Now, to some of you, that may not sound like a lot of money. Or I suppose if you worked in DC, maybe it wouldn't sound like a lot of money. But that is the total economic impact of commercial fishing and recreational boating on the Great Lakes. And so you just picture the economic impact that those two things have. And yet, they are both at risk. They are at risk from a single fish, the Asian carp. Now, for those of you who are experts in Asian carp, I suppose you would be carpologists. There are 4 species, actually, and they were all brought to the United States from Asia to be raised down in Louisiana and Mississippi, and they got loose, and over time they have been making their way up the Mississippi River headed towards the Great Lakes. And if they get in the Great Lakes, it's possible that they could destroy the entire ecosystem of the lakes because they are voracious eaters. They eat 5 to 20% of their weight in food every day. And it's not just one kind of food. They eat virtually anything that any other fish in the Great Lakes would eat, so that if they got loose, it might not be but a few years before they're it in the lakes. Now, you might think, okay, well, that's really bad. But, you know, listen, I don't fish. I'm a boater. Well, Asian carp have this nasty tendency when they hear boat motors to leap out of the water and attack people. If you go on the internet and you'll see people be boating along and suddenly this huge fish leaps up out of the water and bam, hits someone in the face, knocks them down. I'm not sure I would want to do much more motorboating on the Great Lakes. So, One species, really, of fish has the ability to destroy an entire ecosystem. So why, you may wonder, am I talking about Asian carp this morning? The answer is, I want you to see greed as the Asian carp of God's relational ecosystem. Because greed has the ability, just like the carp, to destroy God's entire relational ecosystem. Let me explain. When God created, the biblical narrative tells us that when God created, God set out this relational ecosystem. It had a vertical component and a horizontal component. The vertical component of this relational system is that God, and just sort of, you know, picture it here, God from above would rain down on humanity love and grace and guidance. God would give humanity everything that they needed. Humanity, in response, would look up. We would look up to God, and in that vertical relationship, we would find our ability to flourish as humanity. Because that's God's goal of God's ecosystem of relationships. It is that humanity flourish. The second part of that ecosystem is horizontal. And what is supposed to happen is God has designed it as God's blessings flow from God's good graces to us. We are to take those and share them. Like, think about water falling from heaven that waters not just my plot of ground, but flows out across all of humanity. And as human beings, the image that I like to think of in God's relational ecosystem, they're trees, right, whose roots interconnect. And they build this web where they share nourishment and they share support. That is God's ecosystem for humanity. That what pours down is not just for one religion or one people or one race. It is for all of humanity. And so what we have is this amazing, wonderful ecosystem in which all of creation can flourish. But greed can destroy it. Let's begin with this vertical sense of God's ecosystem. Greed can destroy it. And I'll say more about that in a minute. But first, I'm going to back up. Let's talk about define greed. In Greek, there are really two ways of understanding greed. In Greek and Hebrew, they have the same basic connotations. Okay? And the first connotation, which is what essentially works to destroy this vertical relationship, is this understanding that greed is essentially unfulfilled wanting. It is wanting that has no end. And by wanting, see, greed isn't just about money, right? We like to think, oh, that's really greed. Greed's only about money. No. This unfulfilled wanting, this desperate wanting, this is wanting for power, for fame. It's wanting for sex. It's wanting for things. And yes, it's wanting for money. It is this deep desire, this sense that I can only be whole if I have more. The great Roman philosopher Seneca, now you all just, you tune into Seneca all the time, right? So Seneca, as he was describing this sense of greed, he said, greed cannot be satisfied by nature itself. Meaning there isn't even enough stuff enough fame, enough money, enough fortune, enough of anything that will satisfy greed. It's like a bucket with a hole in the bottom, right? So no matter how much water you pour into it, where is it all going to go? Just right out the bottom. Right out the bottom. This is the first part of greed. And the reason it destroys the vertical relationship, the vertical nature, is because greed does not allow us to look up. This constant wanting, this unfulfilled desire, what it does is it always scans the horizon, looking for that next thing, that next person, that next bit of power, that next whatever it is. It's always looking here. It is never looking up to find what it is that God can give that will actually fill it. And so it destroys that whole vertical ecosystem between ourselves and God, because there's no looking up. The second way to understand greed biblically is, and I'm going to read this one, and this is what will destroy the horizontal nature of God's ecosystem of relationships. Greed is a selfish or excessive desire for more than is needed or deserved, regardless of the consequences for individuals or for humanity. Let me read that again. It's a selfish or excessive desire for more than is needed or deserved, regardless of the consequences to individuals or humanity. This kind of greed is the greed that is centered in the belief that self is at the center of the universe, that the universe circles around me. My wants, my needs, my desires, they are the only thing that matters. This is sort of the philosophy of Ayn Rand, for those of you who've read her books, The Fountainhead, and you know that self is the only significant thing in the universe. There is no such thing as us. There is only me. And the way that destroys the horizontal ecosystem, this wonderful web of humanity, is because what it does, well, actually, one more quote for the morning. There's a singer-songwriter named Julian Casablancas, and this is what he had to say about greed. Greed is the inventor of injustice as well as its current enforcer. Greed is the creator of injustice as well as its current enforcer. Because this kind of greed, when it looks out at the world, it sees the world as a zero-sum game. That you can't have it, only I can have it. If you have it, I have to have it. There's not enough to share. And what that does is it sees every human being as one of two things. Either an object to be used or an enemy to be defeated. Because there's no cooperation, there is no us, there is no sharing. See, and it is this kind of greed that created slavery. Those people were objects to be used. It is what created human trafficking. Those people are just objects for me to use. It's what created, and I know some of you will get on me about this later, but feel free. The day loan industry. Okay? Where the average interest, average annual percentage of interest from those places is 400%. How many of us would go out and get a 400% loan? And finally, it's the kind of greed that leads some parents to pay millions of dollars in bribes to get their children into colleges that they haven't earned or deserved, and then feel good about it and brag about it. Because after all, it's all about me. It doesn't matter those people who worked hard and deserved those places in those colleges. I want it, and I'm going to get it. Greed. And so what happens is that kind of greed, it destroys the fabric of humanity. It rips apart the structure that binds us together so that we as humanity can flourish. So what do we do? How many of you have seen that kind of greed around you? Either one. Yeah, it's out there, right? And it's calling to us. It's calling to all of us. Well, fortunately, in our Old Testament text out of Deuteronomy, we are given the answer. We are given the antidote to greed. And then there are two parts to it. The first part is that we are to remember. Now, it's interesting, when the writer gives this part of the law, the writer doesn't say, do these things because they're right, or do these things because God says you're supposed to do them. This is what the writer says. You are to do these things because remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. You are to first remember, to remember that once upon a time, we all had nothing. As Paul says to Timothy, remember, you came into this world with nothing. You brought nothing into it. And for the Hebrews reading this part of the Torah, it would take them back to the story of the Exodus. It would take them back to that moment when they remembered that it was God who freed them, and God who fed them, and God who led them, and God who brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. And it is God who gives them everything. And it would say to them that we are to see all that we've been given, not as something for us to possess, to be greedy about. We're to see it as gift. We are to look to God and to give thanks that God has poured all of this out upon us. And so when we remember that, what happens is we begin to rebuild that vertical ecosystem. We don't just look out at what we think we want or deserve or desire, but we look up and we give thanks to God. And the vertical ecosystem begins to be recreated. But we're not to stop there with remembering. We are essentially to redeem. We are to redeem those who are lost, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. In this short section of Deuteronomy, where you have this part of the law, there's a number of things. First, we are told that we are to be people of justice. That we are not to take away justice from the alien or the widow, meaning those who are weak, those who are powerless, those who have no way to fend for themselves, that we are to ensure that there is justice done for them. We are not to use payday loans to take the cloak of a widow who has nothing to put down but is in need. that when we beat our olive trees and we take our grapes and we harvest our wheat, we are not to take it all for ourselves, saying, it's mine. But we are to leave some for others, because it's God's. And we take what we need, and we leave the rest for those who are in need as well. And in doing that, we begin to rebuild the social network. We begin to rebuild humanity as one people. We get to share the nurture and the nourishment and the hope and the love of God. We are called to rebuild God's ecosystem of relationships. And the gift of this place, the gift of church, of First Presbyterian Church, is that every Sunday we get to do that. We get to do that because when we come here, we through word and sacrament, through music, we look up, we lift our hearts to God, and we give thanks. We give thanks for all that God has done for us. We attune our hearts to listen to God and to be guided and challenged and led. And then we go out from this place to share. Whether it is through March Mission Madness, whether it is through what the missions we do through this church, whether it is through all of the amazing things that I know so many of you do, we share what we have with those who do not. And in so doing, we rebuild this amazing ecosystem that God has created. And on this day, one last thing. Barely 48 hours ago, in New Zealand, greed had its way. Now, I know we may want to say, no, it's hatred. But I would argue it's greed. It is... a man saying, the goodness of the earth only belongs to people like me. The goodness of the earth only belongs to people who think like I do and look like I do and worship like I do. And all of those people died because of greed. This evening, at 6 o'clock at the Muslim Unity Center over on West Square Lake, there is going to be essentially a service of remembrance, interfaith, for all human beings to come together and to remember and to pray and to show the world that greed does not win. That we are one humanity, one people, knit together. And so my challenge to all of you on this day is, if you can be there. Stand with our brothers and sisters in the Islamic community as one family, one people. And if you can't, simply ask yourself throughout this week, how am I working at rebuilding this ecosystem of relationships that God created and that we can help to heal? Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for pouring out your gifts, your spirit, your love, your son upon us all. Help us to work at rebuilding your ecosystem, that all of humanity might flourish this day and always. In Christ's name, amen.